You just go hi, you just go hi Joe, and I know we're live. That's it. How long have we got? What time frame?
You know, I set aside an hour. Usually I try to tape for 20 or 30, but if it goes longer, we can always break up in two segments. We can do the
You
for the
know,
full
20, 30
hour.
is grand. That's perfect. That's perfect for me.
Okay. Okay, great. And hey, you've been in this longer than I have. I've been in it since 2019, so I'll yield the floor at times to your wisdom. But Joe, I will tell you though, man, I have been very excited about having this discussion with you. It's one of those things when I learned looked at your website, I went, where has this guy been all my life? There's just so many answers that you can help me out with. So thank you for agreeing to be on here with me.
Your enthusiasm is contagious, so I'm delighted to be here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, you talk a lot different than I do. And we keep getting the time frames. I got to make sure I send it at the right time or it's a lag in it. So where are you living? Where are you from?
Well, I'm r residing at the moment in a little rock off the coast of Europe, and I think most of your audience would know it's called Ireland. And I'm l living there. However, I spent a lot of, probably maybe decades working with the wonderful people of America, even to the stage where I would be sitting at the dinner table with my wife and I would say, "Oh, would you like to go to fall?" And goes, "The fall, it's the fall. That's American." I said, "Yes, I've probably been dealing with Americans since decades, so I actually speak their language, where here we would say autumn and not fall." And there's other things like that as well.
Oh, do you say, have you learned the art of when to use y'all? Y'all, that
There's a couple, I
lovely
have a couple
word.
of clients in Texas and they go, "Y'all," and I kind of go, "Y'all? Yeah." So I haven't really got that. I haven't got that yet. If I do, I'll move to Texas. That's it.
There you go. Texas is a great state. A great state. My family's from Oklahoma, which is right north of it, obviously, but yeah, I'm just going to jump in and sometimes I'll ask a question and you might spur a thought. I'm going to go sideways again and go back into the personal story. So, man, thank you again for being on here. So I did a podcast on a solo on leadership. Okay. And look, I just think there's a real deficiency in even the pursuit of great leadership. I mean, I just go, come on, I've seen it. I've been in the corporate world was for a long time and I love to study it. And not that I am one, but I want to be one, right? But I just look around me and go, there's just such a shortfall in people that even want to be great leaders, which maybe we'd find that first. But what kind of advice would you give somebody that wants to be a great leader?
Going back as far as, early 19th century, I'm sure if we went to a library every decade, we'd find books on leadership. And when you and me have passed on and gone to the great heavens in the sky, I'm sure there will be books written on leadership as well. And it's a fascinating, subject. And for myself, I probably interviewed maybe over 300 people on consciousness. And then I've interviewed so many top leaders in the world on leadership. And everyone has their own opinion of what leadership actually is. For myself, I think the beginning of being a good leader is self-awareness. And
Keep going, please.
I think self-awareness is the key to opening up everything in your life. Not only as a great leader, but as a great father. as a great husband, as a great wife, as a great friend. Because when we are self-aware, we can catch ourselves with those thoughts that don't serve our purpose. And in our lives, it is said that we have 80,000 thoughts that go through our head, and 60,000 of them are negative. And who we are today is a reflection of what we were when we were children. And when we were children, there was brain waves that were actually, say, from the age of 2 to 7, were actually, it's a hypnotic brain wave. So even though you're playing in the corner with whatever you're doing, your subconscious mind is listening to everything going around. That could be your parents could be talking about something or fighting or whatever it may be. But also when you're, if someone may say something to you in the street that don't be stupid, you pick that up. So to be a good leader, you need to go back and look at yourself and look at who you are as a person and ask yourself, how can I be better? How can I be a better person? And then from there, I believe then all the other elements of being a good leader will appear. How to engage with people, how to have that proper communication, to know what empathy is, to understanding how to be a great decision maker, to, being able to rip the band-aid off and have those hard conversations with people, but not only from what you want, but actually being active listening in what the other person is saying because you don't know what's going on in their lives. Everybody has problems. And all we need to do is accept them and let them naturally go, but listen to people and see how you can support them.
All right, so this you took this into a place I didn't think we were going to go, but I want to hang there for a bit. I went from excited to have you on here, be enthusiastic. People are going to see this on YouTube because we're going to start putting it on YouTube too. A great sense of peace. If you don't mind me going down that path, is I try to be very aware of the feelings that I have coming in, and I was like excited. I went, he just put a sense of peace over what you just said. So I want to stay there a little bit because as of this morning, I was struggling with a thought. Somebody said yesterday, and for whatever reason, it was unsettling. And I've heard the term renewing of the mind. So when you have those thoughts, those negative thoughts, and then what do you do at the moment that you have them?
The first part is actually, let me rephrase that. The first part of growth, of internal wisdom, is actually being able to recognize and catch them. Because most people will never be able to catch them, they will just be caught in their thoughts. And I sometimes, when I'm on stage speaking, I tell the story about. You could have 50 people compliment you on a day. JD, you're brilliant. JD, you're great. Well done, JD. And one person will come up and say, you're an ass. You will forget about all the good stuff. And you will actually be triggered about what the one negative thing was said. And that's to do with reaction versus response. And society has made us react to things. Society has created us through social media, through our lives, that we react to things where we should stop, take a moment and pause. And then from there, respond. And that's part of great leadership. So when something appears, it's not knee-jerk response. It's actually sitting with it, asking the question, what's been told and what's not been said? And asking the question, does this comment or this affect me, or is this something that I can let slide and not allow it to hold its power? And you go from there on it.
Oh, that's great. This is another one of those times where you see the questions I have yesterday were getting answered today. Somebody reacted to something, and I was close enough to him yesterday to say, you really should have handled that differently. He said, I want to be better. I don't want to be this way. And I said, well, really, when you start feeling it, just kind of pause for a second. And that's what you're saying. Just kind of pause. Take that breath and then assess where to go from there. So I'm going to even go a step further than that. And again, I emailed you the questions, but you didn't see these coming. I didn't see your answer coming either. Thank you. I should have from your website. So once you remove the negative thoughts, there is a process that I try to do, and it's not easy. So once they're gone, there's a term that starts with think about, ends with think about such things. And it's what is lovely, what is admirable, what is okay. That's not easy to do these days. Like, so once you get rid of the negative one, what do you do about like, okay, now the house has been swept clean. If you don't put something behind that thought that's a positive, then more negative come in. Joe, what kind of advice would you give somebody struggles with that?
First, you have to accept you never get rid of negative thoughts. They are there. We live in a world of duality because you can't experience the good unless you have the bad. And if someone has come to you and said, look, I don't want to be this way, the greatest question you can ask, what do you not want? And allowing them to speak, because the power in ourselves is. It's like resilience. There's resilience and there's toxic resilience. And toxic resilience is, I'm great, yay, but everything's building up behind. And the person is wonderful to everyone, but they're screaming inside. And real resilience is being able to express the spoken word. And when someone expresses the spoken word, which takes an awful lot of courage for someone to do this, they will realize that that expression or thought in themselves was only a big thing in their own head and wasn't as big as they thought because they've expressed it to someone else who can actually help them with it. A problem shared.
I see. So I was going to ask the question, do you want to get well? Because some people just don't want to get well. But you just put in such a better, first you have to want to get well. You don't want to be that way, but they know that place. But what you said is so much better. What is it that you don't want? What is it? Like define it. Define it. And then, okay, once we define it, and then it's being. What I heard you say earlier is being an engaged listener and being there for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to describe that part of the process. So when we find out what it is that you don't want and you're there with them.
When you find out when someone you listen because they're telling you, and another great question is asking them, what is there not enough of? Because if people will tell you what there is not enough of, they'll actually tell you what's going on inside as well. Someone might say there's not enough friendship, there's not enough love, there's not enough peace, whatever the conversation may be. But by knowing what someone does not want, you can then go on the path to actually know what they do want. And in life, I know we're going down a different road here, but in
Yeah,
life,
thank
there
you.
are elements of everybody is. What do I need? What do I want? What do I have? And to know that I'm enough and I am safe.
Now, I know we're going down a different path than we started with leadership, but what I'm finding is You really can't separate the two. If you're going to be a great leader, I'm going to come back to that question. You have to take care of yourself. I mean, you have to be healthy, or you're going to bring that to others.
Guilt and shame will rip a man apart. And to be a good leader, you need to be able to face your own guilt and shame. And that could be something so small that shares a shiver down your spine and may be irrelevant to anyone else, but to you it is guilt or shame that's hidden away. And most people will never want to face it. But once you look in the mirror and face it, you will actually then see that it actually frees you, which is all part of that awareness, which actually helps you to be a better leader.
Make sure I'm hearing this right. When I first asked a question about leadership, I thought we might go down a servant leadership section and say putting others before yourself and serving up, which you referenced throughout the entire answer. But now what I'm hearing it, you have to have the balance right. You have to get well first, or you're going to bring whatever issues you have on the people that you're trying to serve.
You know the saying, energy goes where focus, where you focus, energy goes. And you can come in and do a day's work and you can be a leader and make decisions and everything. But it's that energy that is behind you. But it's also being able to, when something happens, you've been able to address it in such a way, going, okay. We have, every problem, there's a solution, and then the solution creates another problem. But it's been able to look at it. So, JD, I'll ask you this question. Have you ever had something happen that you needed to make a decision? And what you've actually done is you've just sat with it and you said, look, I'm going to trust that this is going to work out. And you just allow. Not force, but you allow. And as you allow, without giving it, oh my God, this is happening, or drama, it actually then naturally progresses into a path that you actually were hoping to that it would happen.
Yes, it has. And I am going to go down the faith thing, and I'm not pushing anything. It's just not my place. I have a different view of know it's like where you are, but I have a different view of typically people from the same background I have here. But when I say, look, I have this decision to make and I'm struggling with it. And what I do is I say, okay, I'm going to pray for help about it. I'm going to pray for wisdom on this. And then I'm going to give it off. I'm going to hand it off. And God, you're going to have to, I'm going to give it to you because I don't know. And then you're going to have to show me the path. So to answer your question, it's very freeing when I can get to that. It's not easy to do.
Trust.
Let me let that go. And then to answer your question, I've done that, Joe. My wife and did it yesterday. I said, let's look at what we prayed about on April 7th and then see what happened. And some of the stuff, it just worked out. Just worked out. So yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's looking at what you have. And not what and what you don't have. And you said it there, it's about, and I can put it down to gratitude. It's be grateful for what we have. And once you're grateful for what you have, you can see then the wisdom. You can see. I always find we have our greatest answers when we take a step back and sit in silence. For me, I'd be in the shower and suddenly I'm working with a client and we need to get a breakthrough on leadership or in their whole sales process or and I go, oh, I got it, and I nearly fall out of the shower trying to find something Because what you're doing is you're switching off from all that external noise. And that external noise, when that's switched off, you have the internal compass that actually then guide you on it.
Yes, sir. Over here, we have a fair amount of division at a lot of different points over here in the U.S.
Same
We're like,
everywhere.
I've never seen us as divided on many ways. But what you just said, okay, because I referenced my faith background, but let's go back to that part. But what you referenced, gratitude is a universal language, no matter what faith background or belief system. Or whatever political, whatever angle you're coming from, the universal starting point is gratitude. It's a bit of a magic, piece of
Like
magic.
if you think of even, you said belief system, even not believing is a belief system.
Believing in something, you're going to believe in
Even if
something.
you don't believe in anything is a belief system, And when everybody, when they struggle or they have a concern, the mind goes somewhere. They always say there's no atheists on a sinking ship. So I think it's balance. And I'm working on a talk at the moment. And the talk that I'm working on at the moment, which may be relevant to this conversation. And the reason why I bring it up is because you said divide. And it's the difference between masculinity and toxic masculinity. And for some reason, our young people have been bashed around with, it's wrong to be masculine because they're not telling them the difference between masculinity and toxic masculinity. And yin and yang, which is feminine and masculine energies, which revolve. Our women are the bearers of life. And, what for me, what masculinity means, it's integrity, honesty, acceptance. It's offering what your values are. It's offering to be truthful, respectful. And it's about, protecting the family unit, protecting our women and children so they feel safe walking down the street. And toxic masculinity is weakness, impotence, and prey on other people. And I'm working on a talk at the moment that goes deeper into that. But I think, good leadership is about standing in your own two shoes and actually taking full responsibility. And I often, people say, I ask people, would you be a hero or a warrior? And a hero is someone that, wants a slap on the back and has ego driven, where a warrior is someone that would die for their cause.
You just came back to the first question and you just landed that one perfectly in the definition of leadership. Thank you. You host your own podcast. You host your own podcast, getting it. I'm going to change the question on you again, getting it wrong to get it right. And then you're writing this talk out. Which, before I go into my question, where can people find that when it's ready, the talk that you're creating?
It'll be on my YouTube channel, YouTube Joe Dalton. I'll be putting it up there. And then I'll have something on our website as well. But But I just want to talk about one thing about if someone wants to be a better leader, if someone wants to be a better person, they need to, in my opinion, I've done this myself, and it takes discipline, and it works. So I got a sheet of paper, and I get clients to draw a line down the middle, and on the left side, I ask them to write how they want their life to be or who they want to be in the next 12 to 24 months. And then on the other side, I ask them to write what will it be if they do nothing. And then I ask them underneath it at the bottom of the page to what habits do I need to change to be successful. And then it's asking what do I do on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Milestones, step by step, to create these.
I was making notes of that because I'm going to do it probably starting next week, but I can go back and listen to it. Yeah, thank you for adding that.
And the one question that you ask yourself is when you wake up in the morning is, what do I want to do? Am I willing to make a change? Yes or no?
Okay, thank you. I'm going to change the direction of even the second question I'm going to ask you, but so you speak as if somebody of great wisdom, which usually comes from walking a certain path. That's another reference that people might pick up on. But he speaks of great wisdom, therefore he must know something. So tell us about how you got to this place. Because Joe, you've either read a ton of books, researched a lot of material, which you probably have done, but my guess is you've lived through a fair amount of experiences that have shaped these views that you have. Tell us about how you got to this place.
Well, I've traveled the world. I spent many years in Europe. I spent, years in, in the US. I've even traveled around the world three times on aircraft carriers. I've always been curious about everything in life. I remember watching nature programs and going fascinated, or learning how to play chess, fascinated, or reading books. And I read multiple books a year, and being an author myself as well. And one of the paths that I've always been interested in is self-development, because I think the greatest gift any person can give to themselves is self-development. Whatever goes on in their life, you tool yourself to be a better person. And I had that question about how can I do things better? And a burning question that was always in my mind, probably in my 20s. Life is meant to be easy. Don't mind my dog there.
Oh, life is
So
meant to be easy? Did you say life is meant to be easy?
life is meant to be easy. And why do so many people struggle? And as I went on that journey to find out what it was, I read the Bible. I looked at, the Gita. I picked up so many books, and then I even read the Nag Mahal Adi scriptures, which about the creation, and I picked up then, Neil Donald Walsh, and I had the pleasure of interviewing Neil Donald Walsh. He was a Conversation with God, and Greg Braden and other thought leaders out there, and it started to let me understand that everything goes, what's important inside matters more than what happens external, because you need to look after what's on internally before you can let the stuff externally affect you. And even to the stage where people may get a letter in the post or in the mail, and it triggers them. And all that is just words on a page. And why is that triggering people? And all that external stuff shouldn't allow, you should have a force field to protect the internal. And when you do, the external loses its power over you.
Man, I need to figure out how to engage with you more because I'm going to ask a question. I'm not the only one here, and this is going to be much longer of an answer than, but I'm going to ask anyway. So my entire life, for some reasons that would take longer to explain, has been a bad, always the fight, always fighting, not fighting. I'm not a, you can probably tell, I'm more of a peaceful, laid back type. But always a struggle. Always, you got to scrap. You got to just grind it. You just got to have a lot of grit. You just got to. So it's compared to some, I've had it easy, but compared internally, it has just been from day one that I arrived, it has been a, how did my brother put it the other day? It, nothing ever really came easy. But what you're saying is life is meant to be easy. So I'm going to have to unpack whatever it is that it's creating that view of everything has to be a struggle.
Perspective,
Perspective. Okay.
free will. So, my mother used to say to us when we were younger, there's always someone out there worse off than you. And the question that we ask ourselves, what am I doing wrong? So if there's a struggle, if there's something that's not working out, it's what am I doing? It's not these or that should have happened. Like I looked at our business, a long time ago, and I was kind of going, we're at a point here and we're doing everything that's right, but it's not growing as we'd like it to. And like, we've doing this and we've all the jigsaw pieces and looked at it. And the one thing that I didn't look at was me. And I knew that the issue was myself. So I got out of my own way and found the courage to do what I was f obviously fearful of doing. And that's really what it is. It's ripped that band-aid off.
When you say really fearful of doing, was that because you said, now here's my purpose, here's what I was meant to do, or my what I've what I need to do is work on my perspective, my own healing, my view. It's, so what was it, a combination of those two? Here's what I was created to do or meant to do or want to pursue. Or are you talking about I need to get myself right? Heal's a bit of a big word, I know, but what
Well,
was it, Joe? What?
I think you're talking about purpose, maybe.
Perfect.
The biggest question that people ask in the world, what is my purpose? And the reality of it is we have many purposes. And sometimes people complete a purpose and they don't know what to do next because they completed it. And they don't celebrate that win. And purpose may be to get through college, get married, get a job, get whatever, live in a certain part of the world or the states. But then what's the next purpose? So you keep need to keep fulfilling your bucket.
I'm writing down
And
this.
yeah, and one of the reality checks for me, it was okay, I've achieved A, B, and C. What's next? And what do I need to do? And it's that uncomfortable conversation. And for I realized I was content and I was happy being content. Till the day I realized that content doesn't serve its purpose with me anymore. And I need to change it. So I move from being driving to a state of fulfillment, which then led me to being content, which then content didn't serve my purpose anymore, and I had to change it and move the goalpost then as well. Does that make sense?
It does. I wrote this down. I've never heard it from anybody. I read a lot too. Put it the way you did. What I wrote down is purpose has seasons, or purpose, your purpose could change with a season of life. That's what you're saying.
That's
Purpose
beautiful. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
could have seasons, which makes me think, okay, so if you pause, if you go, okay, it's time to assess this season, and is my purpose changing, or am I fighting against it? And then if you create that pause, then it becomes easy, and then the answers start happening. So it's like if you create that pause at every assessment, oh my, you've led me down a path I didn't see coming. Time to look at the season, assess it, then life become, if I get that right, then life becomes easier because the answers just start showing up. It kind of leads to my next question too, is finding the balance. The balance between a professional and personal life. Notice that on your website is ex extremely hard for so many of us. Joe, how do you get the balance right?
Choice. There's a difference between the balance. So think when I was in my 30s, I went away with work. It was about 6 weeks. And probably when I came back, my son was walking and he didn't know who I was. And maybe subconscious in my mind, I went, oh, that's not good. Later on, with my girls now, I have a life where I work from my office at home. I get to see them going to school in the morning, and I get them to I see them coming home, and I work, nights, but I'm always here for them, and that was my choice. I could have choice to be in an office. I could travel the world again, like I did for so many years, but it was a choice for me, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's points of for your compass to conscious or subconscious to get you into that position. And I kind of realized that I needed to wanted to spend time with my family, because for me, my family is important. Family unit is important. And these are the things. So there's my dog there, little pup.
Hi.
The choice that I want is in my life is to being able to be with my family, but also have a career. And I know some people choose a career over their family, and some people choose family over career. For me, I wanted to flesh out a way that I could have both. And it takes time, and it takes structure, and it takes commitment.
It does. We all have our own personal path. And I'm writing this out in some material so people can read it. But I do want to make tell a very quick story. As I was working till like 9:30 the other night, and that's again what I've always done forever, worked since I was 14. Walked to my daughter's room, Joe. And she was sleeping on top of my son's bed. She was playing video games stuff at college. It was a treat for her to lay on top of his covers with a blanket over. I'm in my big brother's space. And Joe went in there and started playing a guitar. And I don't know how to play the guitar, but my son has one we bought together. That ought to say something. I never tried it. And I'm just strumming it. She goes, her eyes lit up. She goes, Dad, will you play me a song and sing something for me? And she's 16. You know how we crave those moments now, right? And I went, well, no, right now, Harper, I don't really know any songs. I go back here and work. And Joe, the next day she woke up when I checked on her. I said, "You okay?" Well, no, she came out that night. I'm sorry. She came out that night, an hour later, and said, "I struggle with anxiety. I'm struggling with anxiety." Now I'm telling on myself, and I'm not proud of this at all. And it's rare for me to do this. But I said, "You're 16, you're struggling with anxiety. What in the world do you have to?" I mean, I realized the filth I'm getting ready to spew out of my mouth. What are you thinking about? You have to worry with the anxiety and all that kind of stuff. I'm still in work mode. So Joe, the next morning, I knocked on the door of her room and said, "Harper, I got to tell you something, babe. I owe you an apology. There's no way I should ever have handled that way. Never. I should have gotten out of the striving mode." I'm encouraging people that are listening. Should have gotten out of the striving mode and listen to you. And guess what? I'm gonna learn to play the guitar because there's something called the secret chord. And if I could ever find it so it gives you some peace and relief, Harper, I'm gonna find it, her face. So all the striving and getting the balance right, I got a reminder of, buddy, you better get it right because you have a year left with her.
Our kids just want us to listen. We don't need
Yeah.
to, they want to listen because whatever we say is wrong because we're old and we know nothing. But they want us to listen. The greatest gift someone said to me many, many moons ago was if you're having a disagreement with your children, later on, go to them and say, "Hey, what happened earlier was nothing to do with you. It was all my fault, and you were not to blame, no matter what it is." And by doing that, it's showing your kids that they're not to blame, that it was you're taking the responsibility. And maybe when they're older, when they're having a disagreement with someone in a partnership or whatever, they can raise their hands and go, "Hey, look, it's my fault, not yours. I take the blame here."
I didn't know I was going to get leadership, business, life lessons so much from 43 minutes. I'm watching the time because I want to be aware of your time. But that's another one. We often struggle with the ability to just say, "I was wrong. And I'm sorry for that." Not, "I'm sorry for the fact that you've heard it that way," which is really not an apology. We hear that all the time. But that genuine, "I'm sorry, I was
Empathy.
empathy. I'm sorry, I handled that improperly, incorrectly."
Well, it's
No
my
buts
fault.
at the end of it.
No. And kids don't care about PlayStations or if you buy them lunch. They care about memories. A child will remember you at the lake, skipping stones. Or a bike ride with them, but they won't remember the $10 you gave them to buy something. It's irrelevant. It's the memories. And it's all we have at the end of the day is our memories. So going back to you asked me a question, where have I got all the wisdom from? It's a collective of memories and experiences that I asked to have so I could have a better understanding of my own life. That's still not right. Never will be, but that's the journey.
Joe, how do we stay in, how can people get in touch with you, one, and how do we stay in touch? Because this conversation has altered the course of a 59-year-old's life. Mine. And more people need to. I'm going to get the books that you've written and I'm going to listen to what we have out there. What is the best way for people to engage with you?
Two places, joedalton.ie, or they can just catch me, Joe Dalton, on LinkedIn.
Okay.
My podcast is Getting It Wrong to Get It Right. But usually just I hang out on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll have those all in show notes. Okay, is there anything that we left out? Wow, what a range of topics. And is there anything that we left out that you want to share with us right now?
Sometimes our thoughts in our head can create barriers, and you need to, if you need to make a decision, it's pull the thought from your head and bring it into your heart and have a feeling, because feelings are our guidance. And if someone in business wants to be successful, it's set deadlines, priorities, and just be kind to yourself. And I will leave you on this. If anyone is struggling or not sure where to go, I always say, pretend you have a big red button in front of you and you press that button. And that's a reset button. And you're giving yourself permission to do whatever you're doing now to start from this point. That could be today, and you could hit the button tomorrow or hit it whenever. And it's basically just saying, what can I do in this very moment, right now, that will make that change? I'm gonna leave it there.
Thank you. Joe, this is a perfect way to end this podcast. But if you'll hold on for me afterwards, but thank you so much for being on here with us. It's been terrific.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, JD.
Okay, I'll stop recording. You know, I'm going to keep recording. I do my own editing. Okay, well, I will stop recording.